Good morning. Please be turning in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. It's great to see everyone. Over the last few weeks, we've been talking about different aspects of God's grace. And I hope that you've been encouraged. I hope you've been challenged. I hope you've been convicted, because it is such an important and a huge topic. And I intend to continue from there this morning. If you've missed any of the lessons, I encourage you to go to our website, acocg.org. Click on the resources and click on the sermons, and the lessons are all there. acocg.org. We've talked about showing grace to others. We've talked about reaching the lost with the message of God's grace. We've talked about God's grace is sufficient, especially during hard times. We've talked about we are all sinners in need of grace. And I believe I started off by talking about just by the grace of God. So this morning, the title of the lesson is Grace to the Humble. Grace to the Humble. We'll begin in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Oh, I'm sorry, Chronicles. 2 Chronicles 7. See, you know, we preachers, we're not perfect. I know you know that. But every once in a while, you know, God puts you on the spot. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Solomon had built the temple in Jerusalem. As a matter of fact, he had dedicated it. In other words, they had prayed over it. And we're told in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, towards the middle, that God appeared to Solomon. And that's where we're going to begin reading. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, in verse 11, it says, when Solomon had finished the temple of the Lord and the royal palace, and had succeeded in carrying out all he had in mind to do in the temple of the Lord and in his own palace, the Lord appeared to him at night and said, I have heard your prayer, and have chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifices. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people. Verse 14. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. I have chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there. I'm sure you're sick and tired of me saying, this is one of my favorite passages. You know, I don't know about you, there's some passages you just read them, or you hear them, and you start getting excited on the inside. You know, I know, even Thursday night, Alan Rouse did an excellent lesson for the brothers about really seeking God and drawing close to God. And somewhere towards the end, he started quoting from Jeremiah chapter 9. And, you know, the verse says, let not the wise man boast of his wisdom. Let not the strong man boast of his strength. Already on the inside, I'm breakdancing. I was like, come on, preacher, talk to me. Let not the rich man boast of his riches. Basically, if you're going to boast, boast about the fact that you love and know God. You know, those kind of passages, when I hear them, I just start getting excited on the inside. That's what I get excited about, this passage we just read. He says, you know what? If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. You need to memorize this passage. Awesome passage. God promises us that basically if we humble ourselves before Him, He will pour His grace upon us. That's what He's talking about. But the key there is the condition that He placed on it. That we, as His children, we need to humble ourselves before Him. Now again, obviously, this was the temple back in the Old Testament that, again, Gary was talking about in his class this morning, that was destroyed in 70 AD. I've been there. That temple no longer exists. You can see the ruins. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Save up your money. Don't go on vacation to Acapulco or go on vacation to London somewhere. Save up your money. Take your family to the Holy Land. It will change your life. To be there where Jesus was and to walk around that place. It was an incredible experience that I will never forget. And so I encourage you to save up your money and make sure you do it in this lifetime. Amen? But you see, that temple is no longer there. But the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that now as Christians, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That God dwells inside of us. Amen? The same God that was dwelling in that temple in the Old Testament is now dwelling inside you and me in the form of the Holy Spirit. And we need to humble ourselves before God, even as He lives inside of us. Because the promise is, when we do that, He will show us grace. To humble yourself, in the Greek, the word is tapinoho. It's spelled T-A-P-E-I-N-O-O, tapinoho. That's the way it's pronounced. It means to lower myself. It means to assign myself a lower rank or place. It means to have a modest opinion of myself. It means to behave in an unassuming manner. Amen? That's what it means for you and I to humble ourselves before God. You know, if you think about it, it goes against everything God teaches us. This world and everything we're taught goes against what we're talking about this morning. The world teaches us to put ourselves first. I mean, if you think about it, everything we get involved in a race, is a question of who's going to finish out on top. They award medals for gold, silver, and bronze. You're not going to hear about the guy who came in last. I'm not talking of last in the finals. I'm talking of even last in the heats. Nobody remembers who comes in last. And God says, you know what? You need to make yourself last. It's as if you're running a race and you say, you know what? I am deliberately going to come in last for the glory of others. I mean, can you imagine Usain Bolt? He's the fastest human on earth right now. Again, I still don't understand how a human can run that fast. He's the fastest human alive. Can you imagine him getting to the blocks and say, you know what? I am going to let somebody else win this race. As a matter of fact, I'm going to come in last. If he did that in London, that would have been the headlines the next day. Hussein came in last. If he got up and said, you know what? I did it deliberately. They're going to say, no, you didn't. You lost. And God is calling you and I to lower ourselves, to take a lower rank. It's almost as if, you know, you've been in the army or in the military for a long time. and you know, they ask you, what rank do you want? General, which is the highest, or private? Nobody in their right mind will say, you know what, give me private. That's what I want. You and I will go for general. That is what the world teaches us. In high school, what do you see? You don't see the most humble guy. It's who is most likely to succeed. Everything in our world is about us first. God says, I want you to be the opposite. Then I will pour out my grace upon you. Again, I have never seen somebody being awarded some kind of award or some prize for humility. You know, when you hear about employee of the month or salesman of the month, it's the guy that has done the most. The people that get the biggest bonuses are, quote-unquote, are the people that have brought in the most business. The guy who didn't bring in any business, heaven help him, he's not going to get nothing. And God is saying, you know what, we got to put all that aside and humble ourselves and put other people, the interests of others, before ours. This is, then I will pour out my grace upon you. Now look in James chapter 4. Are you guys with me? In James chapter 4, a passage we all know very well. Let's read it though. James chapter 4, beginning verse 1. He says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? James 4 verse 1. Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something and you don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. Remember, he's talking to Christians now. When you ask, you do not receive, because when you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that the Spirit he caused to live in us envies intensely? But it gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Very encouraging passage. Very challenging also. He says, you know what? When we have an attitude of self-sufficiency, when we have an attitude of, you know what? I'm achieving this on my own. I really don't need God and run after the things of this world. God says, first of all, you can have it both ways. He calls us adulterous people. Adultery is horrible. And that's what God calls us when we're being friends with the world. He says, you know what? You're just like a guy or a woman who has gone and cheated on their spouse. He says, we can't do that. And then he quotes Proverbs chapter 3, verse 34. He says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You know, life is hard enough as it is to know that every single day as Christians, we have a target on our backs. Satan is always coming after us, wanting to trip us up. It's something else, though, to add pride into the mix, such that now God starts opposing me or opposing you. Somebody once said, pride is the only sin in the Scriptures where God will become your enemy over. God will actively oppose you. Everywhere you turn, you will not succeed. Because God will not tolerate prideful men and women. Now, before you go, let's keep looking at this. It says, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. I love this. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Amen? That's an awesome promise. If you and I draw close to God, He will draw close to us. It doesn't say God will come close to us first. We need to make the first move, amen? And then in verse 10 it says, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. It's a guarantee. Like I say, you can take it to the bank. When you and I humble ourselves, not just your spouse, not your children, not your best friend, God himself, the Bible says, will lift you up. I don't know about you, I love my wife. I got a lot of friends. They're awesome, they're great. But there's something else when God does lift the lifting up. Oh, there's such a big difference. Amen? And that's what he promises us here. That God will lift us up. Now look in 1 Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 5, we see the same passage. 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse 5. It says, young men, are there any young men in the house? I'm sorry, if you're less than 80 years old, you're a young man. Okay? And I know some of you guys, you get the elders discount and the senior citizen discount on Wednesdays. Okay? Amen? I got my AARP card the other day. I was fired up. It says, young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. Because God opposes the proud. He repeats that verse we just read. But gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, and he will lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Amen? Oh, this is so encouraging. But again, look at the context. It says, younger men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. In other words, there needs to be an atmosphere of humility there. Amen? Because they're older. Again, I understand, yes, we live in the West and, you know, age doesn't matter. It does matter. We need to show respect to people that are older than us. Amen? I mean, Fred is a student. Well, he's graduated now. He's a campus student, a single guy, and he's in his late 20s. There's a difference between when I'm talking to Fred and the humility I have towards him compared to when I'm talking to Guy Robertson. There just is. I'm sorry. Okay? Gary is not only older, he's a teacher of God's word. The same thing with the elders. And so, in every situation, you've got to ask yourself, is this person older than me? And you model the humility. It's not the older man to be showing humility. Now, later on, it does say we should humble ourselves with one another. But again, the context is the younger towards the older. You know, in the Old Testament, there's actually inside the law, in the book of Leviticus, where it commands those of us that are younger to rise in the presence of the elderly. It's in the Bible. It is rude for an older man to walk in the door and you sit down and say hello. Some of us didn't even say hello. That is so rude. I'm not saying we worship human beings, but that humility has got to be there. Amen? Amen? Why do you think, again, sometimes you watch movies and, you know, you don't see this in practice again a lot anymore, where in a movie usually, especially back in the 20s and 30s and 40s, when, you know, people are sitting at a dinner table and then a lady gets up, even to go to the bathroom, what happens? All the men stand up. Out of respect. You don't stand up. You don't sit there. You say, oh, yeah, I'm going to, I'll see you later.
What has happened to all that? Because we are no longer humble with one another. There's got to be humility. Amen? And then it says we need to clothe ourselves with humility towards one another.
You know, a lot of us in here were married, and I talked about this last week some. That is the closest relationship you and I have.
Humility has got to be there.
Where we humble ourselves before our wives, and our wives humble themselves before their husbands. And a lot of times we men, we like the, oh yeah, the Bible does say, honey, you need to submit to me. But before he said, honey, you need to submit to your husband, he's already said, submit to one another out of reverence for Jesus Christ.
That's in the Bible too.
It's funny, you remember, wives submit to your husbands, but you forgot the verse before it. Amen?
That humility has got to be there.
And so the question is, okay, we're talking about husband and wife for now. How do you take correction from each other? You know, I'm going to be honest with you. It's very easy for me to take correction from brothers, especially older brothers. And it's amazing, 9 times out of 10, my wife has said the same thing to me. And I'm like, yeah, you know.
This is pride there.
And then my brother says, you know, bro, this.
Yeah, bro, you're right. I need to repent.
But it's like, my spouse already told me 48 hours before that. You see, that's pride. If I can't take it from her. Because she loves me, she sees me at my worst, and she sees me at my best. And so she's going to bring things up. Amen? A lot of times, I don't know about you brothers, I'm just confessing my sins here. I'll say, well, it's the way you said it. Or the time you brought it up. What has that got to do with anything? I need to submit myself. I need to be humble. If I want God to pour His grace upon my life. You see, when you and I are not humble with our spouses or with each other, we're just saying, God, okay, keep it up there. Whatever blessings you have for me, just keep it up there. That's in essence what you and I are doing. It's always amazing to me when I humble myself, how God decides now, okay, now I'm going to pour this stuff out on you. Amen? And so I share that to say, you know what, sometimes we are the ones preventing God from being gracious upon us and pouring His blessings into our lives because of the way we're talking and handling one another. Amen? Now write down these verses. There's a bunch of them. Psalm 138 verse 6. It talks about how God knows the proud from afar. God can see my pride. God sees your pride from a long way away. And He will oppose you. Matthew chapter 23 verse 12. You know that verse. Jesus says, whoever exalts himself will be humbled. And whoever humbles himself will be exalted. In Leviticus 26 verse 19. Again, God is talking to His children and says, I will break down your stubborn pride. Leviticus 26, 19. And then again, another favorite of mine, Daniel chapter 4, verse 37. After God humbled Nebuchadnezzar, He said, talking about God, those who walk in pride, He is able to humble. Amen? Amen. Proud. The Greek word is pronounced, give me a second here. Huperephanos. Huperephanos is spelled Huperephanos. 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 It means one who shows himself above other people. It goes against teaches us. Look in Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, it says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Amen? He says, therefore, as God's chosen people and dearly loved. You see, that's where our security should come from. He says, as a result of the fact that God loves us and that we're God's children, he says we need to clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. He says we need to bear with each other. Because again, we're all sinners. Guess what? Tomorrow morning when you wake up, you're still going to be a sinner. I'm still going to be a sinner. We're all redeemed sinners. That's just all we are as Christians. Amen? And so in our interaction with other people, we're going to sin. It's not rocket science. There's going to be times when somebody steps on your toes. Your wife or your husband or your friend or whatever. I mean, it's going to happen. There are times when they're going to forget something. How could you forget that? They did. It happens. Amen? When that happens, there needs to be forgiveness. The other day, I was meant to have an appointment in Marietta with someone and, you know, set up the appointment and everything. And, you know, had it all, you know, it was my mental calendar. I don't have one of these, what do you call these things? Tablets and stuff, you know. I'm not into it. I don't know what it is. You know, I keep everything in my head. And so, it was on a Monday morning. I wake up that Monday morning, had a great quiet time, excited. You know, I go up, I see my wife, I say, you know what? I feel like eating some Indian food. I said, let's go up to Athens. There's this nice Indian restaurant we like up there. I said, let's just go up there very quickly and go have some Indian food. She says, no problem. So we're driving up to Athens. I'm feeling all good. The phone rings. So, Richard, are you still coming? That's when it dawned on me. Uh-oh. I'm supposed to be heading to Marietta. I said, I am so sorry. I said, I forgot. I am so sorry. So, no problem. We can reschedule for Friday. I said, yeah, please. Then I rescheduled for Friday. I looked at myself. I said, please remind me. Okay? I said, please remind me so I don't forget. Then I went down. When I got home, I went and put it on one of those, what do you call it? Your to-do list on the computer. So I went and put it on there, and I did make that appointment. But I'm glad they forgave me. They were not saying, look at this preacher. This forgetful preacher. That was not their attitude. They offered me grace. Amen? And so I'm saying this because, you know, we all make mistakes. We got to be humble. We got to bear with one another. We got to offer each other grace. Just as God has forgiven us. He's basically saying here in Colossians chapter 3, you know, since we're Christians, let us behave like Christians. Since we're disciples of Jesus, let's behave like disciples of Jesus. Bearing with one another in love. You know, because of time, you know, there's another list in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, talking about the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Same idea. Gentleness, righteousness, godliness, love. These are the kind of things that the Bible calls us to put on in addition to humility. And God promises He will bless us. Amen? We all have pride. Let's be honest. I got my pride, you've got yours. If people were sitting down and trying to describe me, I'm not sure the word humility is going to come up. And I don't know about you, that to me, that's very convicting. Because when I read my Bible in Numbers, it tells me that Moses was the most humble man on the face of the earth. That's incredible to me. And God is calling you and I to be like that. To humble ourselves. You see, humility is a condition of the heart. I'm talking genuine humility. Genuine humility is not easy. to see. Why? Because like love, it doesn't parade itself. I remember one time I was studying the Bible with this guy. Very proud and arrogant. He wouldn't stop. He was always talking. And you know, I tried to show him a few verses. I said, you know what, hey, you need to stop, man. You need to just stop and listen. And I looked at him, I said, man, you are not humble. And he looked right back at me and goes, you know what, I am the most humble person I know. I said, Lord, give me patience. He almost went right over his head. He had no clue what I was talking about. I said, that's exactly what I'm saying. I said, I can't believe you just said that. He says, what? And I played it back. I said, you just said this. He says, yeah, what's wrong with that? I said, you know what? You need to go think about this. Go sleep on these verses. Let's talk later. He later became one of my best friends. He never became a Christian, though. But you see, we all have pride. But you see, humility is hard to see because humility is a condition of the heart. And you know what the Bible says in 1 Samuel 16? Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. So God can see when I'm humble. God can see when you're humble. He can. And that's why, you know, again, we ought to be praying. Brothers and sisters, I believe this needs to be a part of our daily prayer. Lord, help me to be humble. I know we don't like praying that prayer because you know that's one of the ones God answers first. I mean, the prayer has not even left your lips before God is going to put you to the test. Something is going to happen and then God is going to say, okay, now I'm going to see how he's going to react. You say, Lord, humble me. Be very careful. You pray that prayer and then you brace yourself. Okay, that's the way I see it. But it's awesome because when we humble ourselves, he will pour out his grace upon us. Amen? Now, you and I cannot become humble without the help of the Holy Spirit that's living inside of us. It's not possible. We need the Holy Spirit to help us. Amen? Now, let's close out in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Talking about Jesus. He says, if any one of you has any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Verse 3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. In the English Standard Version, the ESV, it says, do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. In the New American Standard Version, it says, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. You see, humility is putting the interests, the desires, and the comfort of others above your own. Humility is about sacrifice for other people. It's about service to other people. They go together. Service and sacrifice. That's humility. Jesus personified that throughout his entire life. I mean, think about it. Jesus was right there in the beginning. And the Bible doesn't tell us when that was. You know, scientists tell us that this earth is billions of years old and all that stuff. I don't know how to figure it out, but I believe them. When God says, let there be light, he was right there. They did it together. Imagine. When the time came, God says, you know, son, it's time for you to go down there. Like one of them. He's a perfect being. Took up this flesh. Came down here. The people that he created didn't even recognize him. They insulted him. saying all kinds of things about him. Say, who are you? I don't know about y'all. Okay, let me tell you right now. If that was me, the Lord said, son, it's time for you to go down and say, okay, light up the chariot. The whole world's going to see when I show up. It's going to be a huge, you ain't seen nothing yet. It's not like the British do. I mean, those guys, they got some pomp and circumstance. I'm talking, you know, if I was Jesus, the way I would have made my entrance into this world, say, hey, we come in, razzle dazzle. And you see people there questioning him, like guy was talking about this morning, some of these guys, Sadducees and Pharisees. Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar? I'm going to just look at you, man, and you just melt. I don't even have to say nothing. Oh, you're going to know that I am God. But I say all that to say this. He could have done it that way, and he didn't. That's humility. He came, people didn't even know he was here. He didn't come in like some rich guy or some, you know, aristocrat. He says, I am among you as one who serves. Says, for the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. That's humility. That yes, despite the fact that you have the position and the power, you don't use it. You give up yourself, you give yourself up in service, you sacrifice yourself. God says, now that's power. And when you and I become like that, God cannot help but pour out his grace upon our lives. Jesus humbled himself. That's what it talks about in Philippians chapter 2. He humbled himself to the point of becoming a man. And as a result, God exalted him to the highest place. That at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And that's what God is calling us to. I don't know about you guys. This is challenging. Every day. Especially when it comes to my marriage. Because that's where I see it. Amen? I don't know where you see yours. God opposes the proud. But gives grace to the humble. All you and I need to do is worry about humility. God will do the exaltation. God will pour out his grace. He can't help but do it. But let us remember that the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. That's Mark chapter 10, verse 45. God bless you all.
Let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for this morning, God. Thank you for just allowing Richard and Gary just to speak to us in powerful ways this morning, God. We pray that you will just be with us as the week goes on, God. Help us to show our humility to the world, God. Help us to show just what disciples of your kingdom really are like, God. We pray that you will just allow us to just to be able to receive your grace, God, to be able to receive your mercy this week, God. And we pray that you will just continue to be with us, continue to bless us throughout our lives, God. We pray in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You are dismissed.